everyone. I'm Chief Mass Sergeant Alan Lawson. I'm the State Comanche for the Washington Air Guard. And today I have the honor and privilege on interviewing Staff Sergeant Sierra Love from the 225th Support Squadron. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for starting this podcast. This is a huge way to connect with people. It's so admirable, and I'm very excited. I'm very excited to be here.
Absolutely, Sierra. I'm glad that you're here. And so we're going to kind of break the ice a little.
Sure.
Tell me if you had a hype song, the grand tune that you wanted to have played when you entered the main ballroom, what would it be?
I don't know if it would be a ballroom. It's slightly less classy than ballroom level, but it's a classic Eminem. We're always walking out to Lose Yourself by Eminem because you're in the zone. You're getting ready. That was my walkout song for basketball when I was in high school, and it just stuck.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. That's a good one. That's a good one.
It's a classic.
So you played basketball in high school. What position?
Yes. I was always center. I grew up in southern New Mexico, so the reality is I was never good at sports, but I'm 6 feet tall, and the average height in southern New Mexico is like 5'2".
Okay.
So I was just, you know, available. I was vertically gifted.
Yeah.
So I played center, and then I played middle for volleyball. So that was fun.
That's awesome. You're tall for, female, yeah.
I'm larger than the average man overall. Yes, I'm awesome. 6 feet, 220. Uh-huh. I'm a competitive powerlifter now, and I still listen to that song.
Competitive powerlifter. So we can go a lot of different ways with this. So do you bench press?
I do bench. What's my bench is my weakest.
Yeah?
Yes, I can only bench 225, and that's like...
Only.
That's
pretty good. I can barely do 225.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll go to shift gears, Sierra.
Sure.
So, you know, I mentioned to the audience that you are part of the 225th Support Squadron. Can you talk about your primary role, where you work, and I guess the highlights of your job?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm part of the 225th Support Squadron. I'm in the Maintenance Operations Center. So I do a lot of maintenance coordination. I work with industry, commercial, other government entities to ensure that we can provide the perfect air picture for the Air Defense Squadron and our counterparts in the support squadron. So that's a lot of phone calls. That's a lot of emails. That's a lot of ensuring I know who to connect to who so we can get people into radars to do the maintenance. And what was the second half of that question?
That would be, some of the highlights of the job.
The highlights?
Yeah.
I love my job so much. It does not seem like a job. However, some of the highlights is meeting amazing people, working with the FAA, which is something that I never thought I would do, getting to go on amazing trips and TDYs to learn about how we create America's air picture. That is an amazing opportunity. Mm-hmm. And being able to talk with people and connecting people, that's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, like I mentioned to you earlier, that I worked at the Watts for quite some time, and I've been in the confocal point when the phones were, going crazy. So, how do you decompress from that at the end of the day?
Oh, well, that's personally that's my cup of tea. I love high stress, high speed. However, when I'm driving home, it's typically silent. It's silent mostly because everything on I-5 is going to be hectic. So, I just need to not allow any emotion to enrage me on I-5. And then my drive home is through the trees and it's beautiful. And I get home to my dogs and I sit outside and I read and crochet with the birds and the trees.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that everybody has to have a way to decompress, right?
Absolutely.
You know, like even for me, when I go home, my 40-minute drive home is my decompression, the trees, the mountains.
Yes.
You know, I don't do I-5, which is a good thing.
Right.
So that's important, yeah. And then I think you mentioned before that your mom lives with you?
So she lives in Washington
okay.
State. Yeah, she lives up near Seattle, and that's actually where I'm headed after this, because she is my huge decompression, right? Growing up in a family that wasn't nuclear, is how I will refer to that, it was interesting to find myself and create myself, and having my mother so close to me here, which is one of the main reasons that I went from active duty to AGR, is such a blessing and opportunity because I get to connect with who I am. And I think that's a resource that being AGR, especially in a home state, I get to utilize that resource very heavily.
Yeah, that's great. But you know you're doing a podcast today?
She does, but only very superficially.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. So since you mentioned we're talking about your mom, so let's kind of take it back. Let's go to, like, you know, childhood.
Sure.
You know, I guess, you know, where you're from, you know, where you've lived throughout the years before you joined the Washington Air National Guard.
Absolutely. Okay. So I was born and raised in Las Cruces, New Mexico. I was raised by my grandmother and my uncle. I didn't necessarily have the ideal nuclear family, but I'm very, very grateful with my upbringing. I lived in Las Cruces until I was 17, and then I moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is where I enlisted out of. So when I was living in Tulsa, I worked at a gym, and one of my regulars that would come in and get his protein shake, because I worked at Starbucks in Las Cruces, and then I just went to the protein station at the gym in Tulsa. He was Army infantry, and I was telling him that I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I really wanted to be a nurse. It was pre-COVID, so I really wanted to be a nurse. And he said, well, the Air Force has this nursing program. So I looked at it, and I didn't have the capability because I was 17 and didn't have a bachelor's degree or a nursing degree. But I knew the Air Force had a nurse enlisted commissioning program. That day, I enlisted. Right then and there, it felt like a calling for me. So from Tulsa, Oklahoma, I went to basic in San Antonio and then tech school for 6 months in Biloxi, Mississippi during the summer. It was awful.
It's hot.
It was hot, but the food is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Unbeatable, and the culture there. But then after Biloxi, I went to Edwards Air Force Base in the Los Angeles area for 5 years. And then I PCS'd here to McCord, and I was active duty on McCord for 2 years. And then I switched from active duty to AGR 6 months ago.
Well, that's awesome. So how did you learn about the AGR program within the Guard here?
It was such a one-off situation. So I was a bouncer at a bar, and there was a group of people. And I was checking IDs, you know, can you be here? And I saw that they had military IDs. So I was like, what do you do in the military? And he said, well, he's in the ADS. So he went into this really awesome spiel that I didn't really understand, but it sounded really cool. And then he offered to give me a tour. So when I was touring WADS and I saw the gym, the in-house gym.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
It's the facilities are amazing. Everybody was so kind and they looked like they were happy.
Yeah.
So I figured out what I needed to do to make myself marketable from an aircraft maintenance backshop position to a cyber position. And I had no idea what I was getting into. I didn't know anything about the Guard. I didn't know anything, but the people at WADS, as soon as they heard that I was interested, they reached out and they hugged me and they gave me all the information. So then I applied. It was a really one-off situation, though.
Oh, that's great. That kind of happened to me, too, back in 99, a long time ago. I'm separating active duty. Yes, I'm old, but, you know, a mentor of mine, when he found out that I was going to separate from the active duty Air Force, he said, have you heard of the Guard? And I'm like, well, I have, but those guys and gals are pretty old.
Right.
I was in my early 20s, right? So he convinced me to put an application to the WADS, and I got selected, and I moved from Florida, Eglin Air Force Base, to McCord, one extreme to the next.
That's correct.
And I was at the WADS for 20 years, but like you and I have talked about, WADS is an amazing place if you grab on, and you can easily thrive. They take care of you. They really do.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. It's like a carousel that's spinning really fast. All you have to do is hang on tight, and you're going somewhere.
That's it. That's awesome. They're taking care of you. So, you know, kind of bouncing around. So you were a bouncer at a bar. We won't say how many fights you got into. I want to ask. But you were a center for basketball and
yes.
a power lifter.
Yes.
Yeah, you're probably somebody you don't want to mess with, I'm sure. Yeah, if you get upset.
I'm actually a really, really peaceful person.
Uh-huh.
I do
sure.
not advocate
sure
for I know. But I will stand my ground. That's actually I'm often described as intense or aggressive, which I prefer to describe myself as passionate. So, you know, if somebody, I'm the bully of bullies, so don't be mean to, especially the underdog, don't be mean to my friends, don't be mean to my family, and we're all good.
That's right. That's awesome. So with that, you know, I tell folks that, you know, the baseline of being, before you can be great or good at anything in life, you know, you got to meet the baseline of being a good human. So
that's correct.
So Sierra, can you kind of touch on, as a human being, how do you go about your daily life and take care of others?
Absolutely. It starts with honesty. I have to be honest with myself and where I am. Do I have a full cup? Do I have the energy to give to help others? Or do I really need to take a step back because then I'm just a burden? Or I am maybe not as capable to guide and help others. As a human being, which is what I am first, because if I'm an airman first, I can't be a very good airman, bigot airman. As a human being, it took a lot of work and reflection and utilizing the resources that the military has provided, mental health. You know, even when things are good, I have to continue to pour into myself because I genuinely, fundamentally want to be a resource to everybody around me. I want to help people find careers that they're passionate about. I want to help people get the degrees that they want. And in order to do that, I have to intentionally pour into myself. And sometimes that looks like slowing down. I hate slowing down, but it's necessary for recovery.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about, so everybody has had a tough time in their life, right?
Yes.
You know, what's been a tough time, moments in your life that's kind of shaped you?
Yes. So coming into the Air Force, and this is kind of across the board, we come in typically 18, 19, 20. And we have 18, 19, 20 years of life experience that our frontal lobe, that is not fully formed, hasn't had the tools to understand yet. And yes, in basic training, they give you finance briefs and XYZ. But it's not until 24, 25, until our brain fully develops, that we can look back and go, oh, I have a lot to deal with. So coming in my first years, I made a lot of young airman decisions that I think many young airmen make. Oh, yeah. I got married pretty quickly to potentially the wrong person. All of those things shaped me. And then when things started to get dark and that marriage came to an end, I didn't have the right tools to cope with the level of stress that I was experiencing. I personally, although the Air Force has told me, don't utilize bad coping mechanisms. You know, use these for financial guidance. Here is your legal aid. I didn't have the wherewithal, so I turned to alcohol. And I started using it way too much. It was encouraged. You know, a lot of people have heard, oh, you're sad. Well, have you tried drinking? And that's kind of a culture that I work really hard now to break. But I realized that if I wanted anything different for my life outside of the simplicity that is the Groundhog Day of abusing alcohol, I needed to make a change. And it was so scary. But when I told my team, I told my command team, I need help. I am in a cycle that I am not strong enough to break. We went through ADAPT, which is an amazing program. I went through an inpatient program for 30 days. Wow. And then an outpatient program for 90 days. And it was the best, scariest, and most vulnerable that I had ever been in my whole life. But it was also the best thing that I could have done, because in order to be a good big A airman, in my opinion, I had to hit that rock bottom. Mm-hmm. So after going through recovery, I'm 2.5 years sober now. After experiencing,
congrats.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
After experiencing that, I came to terms with who I was and what I wanted for my life and what I definitely don't. So I fought like heck to get away from that version of myself.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Thank
really
you.
Is. Thanks for sharing that story. I can tell it's a little hard to reflect on it for you.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's okay. Again, I think, you know, we've all been through tough times, you know. But again, that's how we're shaped, how we become stronger if we allow.
Exactly.
To let us be stronger from it. Yeah. So thanks again for sharing that.
Yes, thank you.
So have you, I mean, that story there is phenomenal. And there's a lot of airmen that go through things.
Yes.
Say most airmen go through things similar to that. Yes. Have you told your story to other fellow airmen?
No.
NCLs? No, okay. So, but you are now, though, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And that, I'm like shaking. I'm very scared because there is a stigma, especially with career progression, because I want my airmen to never have to face any hardship. But the reality of life and the reality of being a human is that we will. And I'm scared that this will impact how people view me. But if I'm going to proceed with honesty, I have to be honest. People will know. People should know, because I am capable of overcoming huge, huge barriers. And people need to know, and people deserve to know, that there is life after ADAPT. That's one of the biggest stigmas, is that I don't want to go to ADAPT because I don't want it to affect my clearance. It did not affect my clearance. If anything, it enabled my chain of command to look at me and go, wow, that's a resilient person, because that is resilience.
It takes a lot of deep inner strength to recognize, hey, I have a problem and I need help.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people, you know, unfortunately don't do that.
That's correct.
I wish everybody would do that, but I think you know the reality is not everybody does that.
That's correct.
And I'm not saying those people aren't strong, but it is, you have to kind of dig deep, you know, like you did.
Yes, willing to be vulnerable with the people that you want to think of you as invincible.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, again, I mean, try not to be too nervous about sharing your story, because I think that, you know, the people will be, you know, very, you know, encouraged and inspired by your transparency. I'm a firm believer that, you know, be as transparent, be as real as you can.
Yes.
I mean, if you're not being real, if you're not being you, the best version of you, then what's the point?
That's exactly correct. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you again. Okay. Well, I'll shift gears, because I know that's a lot. That's deep.
Sweating.
Yeah. So I guess over the next, 3 to 5 years, what are some of your personal professional aspirations?
That's a good question. So I just started school 3 days ago. I've started my bachelor's system. My bachelor's degree. I use the AUABC resource because I had my CCAF in micro precision technology, which, what is that? So
wow.
I use my CCAF to go into my bachelor's degree for information systems, which was heavily influenced by WADS.
Yeah.
So that is within my 2-year plan. WADS, the Western Air Defense Sector in itself, is a silo of growth. It will project you into the ether. So whatever opportunity comes, I'm going to take that. And I don't necessarily know what that looks like, but I'm very comfortable with that, with the discomfort of not having things exactly planned, because I know and I trust that people will take me very far. My team believes in me, even sometimes when I don't believe in myself. So in the support squadron, in the air defense squadron, I'm very excited. So I don't have a perfect plan for my professional life, because it could go anywhere. Personally, I would like to buy a home, because I have the stability of being AGR now that I've never had in active duty. So I would like to buy a home here in Washington State. I live in a fifth wheel trailer right now.
Okay.
Yes. Wow. I would like to sell it.
Yeah.
I love it. And I'm very grateful. It's been years that I've lived in my trailer, but I'm ready to let it go.
Tiny home living.
Yes.
Yeah.
With 2 70-pound dogs. It's
wow.
A lot. We're always outside, but I would like to let that go. And I would like to move in a direction of stability for my life.
Yeah, I think that will happen for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so many opportunities. And yeah. So going back, you said micro precision technology?
That's correct.
So, Pete, do you know what that is? No, what is that?
It is. So my last career field was precision measurement equipment laboratory, which is PMEL for short. And so there's the aircraft maintenance squadron. There's the maintenance squadron, which is kind of the back shops. And then we're a very, very, very small career field that's attached to the maintenance squadron. So we're kind of the back shop to the back shop. Anything that measures anything, we touched it. So electricity, pressure, torque, temperature, resistance, humidity, flatness, roundness, fiber optics, lots of stuff. And it's actually helped me at WADS, because I'm the PMEL coordinator at once.
Yeah.
So
Okay, fascinating. Yeah, I've never heard it, you know, termed that way. That sounds, yeah, over my head.
It's really in the weeds, but it was so cool. It was such an amazing opportunity because I got to work with literal rocket scientists at NASA and Air Force Research Lab that influenced my whole career. And the cool thing about the majority of my career that was spent at Edwards Air Force Base, that's AFMC, and there are generals everywhere. I got to have conversations with generals that influenced the rest of my career. And so when I left Edwards Air Force Base, I was like, where are all the generals? Oh, it's unique.
Like, it's unique. They're rare.
It's very unique. And I got to shake hands with lots of them. So it was an amazing opportunity. Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, the state partnership program, I think you're familiar with.
Yes.
Our two state partners, Malaysian and Thailand.
Yes.
So we're really doing more enlisted engagements, at least on the air side. On the Army side, we're going to increase those enlisted engagements moving in the future.
Yes.
And then we're also doing more, you know, female engagements as well. Because,
yes,
you know, in the Malaysian, Thai cultures, it's just, they're just different.
Yes.
You know, Asian cultures, you know, how they, you know, integrate women in the military, empower them. It's just different from, you know, the U.S.
Absolutely.
Not bad at all. So as we work toward female, helping them integrate their females more into their services, their components, I guess any type of advice, you know, you would give as they transition?
So I'll start with, if I was theoretically right now having a conversation with a woman of Thai or Malaysian culture, I would say, understand who you are, have your fundamental principles, and do not bend. Learn kind and tactful ways to set boundaries. I appreciate that you XYZ. Please don't speak to me like that. Or I would like if you spoke to me in this way. Yeah. Setting boundaries and understanding who you are will enable you to create meaningful working relationships. Because that's very necessary as a woman in the military. If I was talking to Thai and Malaysian cultures as a whole, I would say be open-minded and try every single idea that you possibly can, because there's no, air quotes, right way to do anything, especially when it's changing your fundamental cultures. I think the State Partnership Program is such an amazing opportunity that not a lot of people know about. And it's so exciting to, one, learn that the world is moving forward, you know, with organizations like Women, Peace, and Security and the WIT teams. It's such an enlightening and exciting time to be a woman in the military, especially a woman in the Air Force, but I may be biased.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about that. So, you know, your experience as a woman in the U.S. military, the United States Air Force, now the Air National Guard, I mean, yes. How's your experience been?
So it was tough at first, but I would say 80% of it was self-inflicted. Just, you know, coming in and not knowing how the world works. And I think it's absolutely necessary to be a young, dumb airman. It's important to learn those lessons early. I've had, especially in the maintenance world, only in the maintenance world, really, because that was the majority of my career, there was a lot of snide remarks, and I had to know the difference between poise and lack of boundaries. And I had to learn how to set boundaries. For example, it was the first day that we could wear our hair in anything outside of a bun. So I wore two braids, which is well within regs, and my flight chief, who is no longer in the Air Force, he just was in a long time, not for any like disciplinary reasons, but he said, "I hate change." And I was like, "And what do you mean by that, sir?" Because I was a senior airman. I had only been in for 4 years at that point. And that's a very impactful statement to make to a young airman. So it was a lot of navigating difficult conversations with grace, because unfortunately, the reality is typically people look at women as emotional creatures. And if I wanted to make a change, I had to learn to utilize my emotions as a strength. If I got angry, okay, well, let's Let's find some big words to really assert dominance in this conversation. And it was hard. It was often not easy, especially because there aren't a lot of us. I think the ratio, we're at like 16% of women in the military as a whole. Yeah. So creating meaningful relationships with other women, it's hard because there's not a ton of us. And when we are in close proximity, we're often pitted against one another. And we're not really taught how to have meaningful relationships, like going back, coming in at 17, 18, 19, often you are fresh out of high school, and that is the trenches for young women. We're constantly bullied, or, you know, it's the hierarchy of who can look the nicest, be the coolest. Yeah. So navigating relationships with women and prioritizing connection was a difficult lesson for me to learn, but it had to happen real quick because in Western Air Defense Sector, there are so many strong, inspirational women.
Absolutely.
So that, I hope that did an okay job of summarizing my experience as a woman.
No, that's great. I appreciate that. You know, and going back to, you know, like the, just the dress and appearance, the yes. changes, you know, I think it's important to evolve with the times, right?
Yes.
You know, modernize your force, whether it be, you know, your material on your uniform or
yes.
how, you know, women wear their hair. But I know for the hair piece alone, my wife, you know, just wrapping it tight into a bun over the years, she suffered from a lot of headaches and migraines.
Yes.
And I think a lot of women suffer from that. And so by giving that option, I just did, I think it, that just that one thing helped a lot, right?
Yes.
So again, it's, I mean, change isn't always easy for people. But I think an adaptable, highly effective leader can recognize, okay, we have to evolve.
That's exactly
in
correct.
Certain ways. Yeah, that's good. So you haven't had the opportunity yet to, I guess, participate, engage with the Malaysians in Thais?
Not yet. They okay. have, I did eat some nachos with them when they were here at WADS. It was so eye-opening because it was regular, super processed, highly artificial nacho cheese.
Yeah.
Out of a can, and they thought it was pumpkin soup, which is like a delicacy in their culture. And it was kind of disappointing, honestly, mm-hmm. because as Americans, we do eat a lot of really low quality food. Uh-huh. But I look forward to every single opportunity to interact with them because their cultures are beautiful and their food, the way that they make their food and the passion that they put into taking care of their bodies with their food. It's beautiful. I cannot wait to learn everything I can.
If you had to, you know, look back and reflect and talk to your younger self that was, say, 18 to 20 years old, what would you say to that young version of yourself?
I would grab her by the face and I would say, you're gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Everything will be fine. And I really think a lot of young airmen, we want everything all at once. And if I could tell myself to trust the system, trust the Air Force, trust the people around you, and trust yourself that you're making the decision to surround yourself with people that are trustworthy, that's also very important. And I would say, stop saying no. Every time you say no, you're limiting your capability to become a better person. Say yes to every single opportunity, even if you are shaking in your boots. Mm-hmm. You go, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to be comfortable being uncomfortable sometimes.
Yes. And 18-year-old me, I was uncomfortable with being uncomfortable in the worst possible way because I just wanted to take a bat to everything. This system is awful. This is. Yeah. But slow down. Change will come. And success, whatever that means to anybody else, it will come as long as you look for that.
Yeah, that's good advice. That's good.
Thank you.
Okay, the last and probably the toughest question since we've been talking. No, it's not the toughest. So we'll wrap it up with, you know, what type of advice would you give to a young man or woman
that's
thinking about joining, you know, the Air Guard or the Army Guard, you know, or just military in general? What type of advice would you give that person?
Military, we'll start with the military in general, because that's kind of, it's a huge culture shock. I would say be open to listening to every story and invest a lot of time in yourself. Coming into the military, it's really heavily, it's heavy culture base. So you come in and this is what we do and this is how we do it and here's a reg to prove it. But there's a lot of space in between who an individual is as a person and what the principles of the military are. I would guide a young airman, soldier, sailor, marine, Coast Guardian to learn how to meld those. Integrity first, service for ourself, excellence in all we do. It had to become a part of who I am in order to be an effective and efficient airman. So learn what your service needs of you and learn what you truly, truly resonate with and integrate it into who you are fundamentally as a person. If I had to give a young man coming into the military advice, it would be you are so worthy. You are worthy of love and patience and compassion, and your feelings do not make you weak. Your feelings make you actually really, really strong. And navigating the difficulties that society has hammered into your head about being a human being, it's very valid and very real. And accepting who you are, that you are a human, will take you further in your career than any push through. And I put that in air quotes because you can push through anything. You can push through sadness or depression with any one-off tool. But if you ground yourself in who you are, you will be incredibly successful. But because male suicide is very high, I would guide them towards care and compassion and systems of support. If I had to give a young woman advice, it would be find women. Find women because our experience is kind of rare. We can't necessarily relate with young men. So we need to prioritize relationships with other women and prioritize growth within yourself and look for leaders, men and women, that you resonate with, and do not emulate the people that you don't. I guess that would be for everybody. But also don't hold grudges against them because we're only this old. Like, this is the oldest I've ever been. I've only ever been alive for 26 and a half years. So, so be patient, be kind, work hard, and rest just as hard. If you're coming into the Guard, know what your resources are. Know what your education resources are. Know what your medical resources are. Can you go to mental health? Can you utilize resources like ADAPT? What does my base look like? Is there a library that I can use? Do they have Wi-Fi? Things like that. Childcare. Am I a single parent? If you're a single parent coming into the Guard, what systems are there? Because there are so many systems. Are you a parent of a child with a disability? Are you XYZ? There's a resource for everything. Yeah. So equip yourself, find a system, find a team, and good luck, because this is going to be the best decision of your life.
Yeah. Enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride. Yeah. And gosh, I hope you fall in love with it as much as I have, because it's amazing here.
Oh, that's great advice. And I like what you said about, you know, work hard, but rest just as hard.
Yes.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. That's divine balance.
Yes.
That's good. Yeah. So, Sierra, thanks again for joining me on today's podcast, my first ever.
Congratulations.
Interview. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, thank
yeah.
you.
So I think we got through it. It was a wonderful story. I love it, what you shared. I really enjoyed your openness, your honesty. And I think that I know the people will enjoy that too.
Thank you. Yes. And if anybody ever needs me, I'm on the global. I'm on all social media platforms except Facebook. I don't have a Facebook. But if you ever need me, please reach out. And thank you, Chief, for having me. What an amazing opportunity. And I hope I did okay.
You did great. So,
thank you,
all right,
sir.
Everybody, Staff Sergeant Sierra Love from the 225th Support Squadron, Air Power.
Air Power.